Good evening. Been a minute since we've all been here on something that we've got to remember how things do. I want to thank Worship Committee and the elders for putting this series together. I want to add my welcome to each of you, especially if you're visiting. I hope that you'll be back with us any chance that you get. We are kicking off a series tonight that goes along very well with this theme you can see on the stage, this whole idea of sharing life and changing lives, and this idea of generations, how the generations within this congregation impact one another, the challenges each generation faces, the talents that each generation can bring, the way that we can impact one another. Tonight we're focusing on our young Christians in the church. Now, let me begin with this. You are hoping tonight that I'm going to unravel the mysteries of this group over here. I have some very bad news, because each year I get a year older as well, and I no longer understand half of what they are saying. As a good tangible example, this week we were able to begin our Friends Day Wednesday nights back, where we encourage them to bring a friend, let's have some food, we'll be in the gym, eat for a little bit, and then we'll go up to Bible class. So I get on the phone, send out a text to each other, hey, don't forget, 6 o'clock, and then bring a drink. Tucker Allen, in particular, has begun responding to probably 90% of my texts with just a meme. No words, no explanation. So as I send out, hey, exciting times, Friends Day is coming back, this is the picture that I get back. Now, if you're unfamiliar, this is Yoshi from the Mario games for Nintendo, sadly looking at a sunset. So I responded with, oh man, you're not going to be able to make it that night? He's like, no, I'll be there. And then it just sort of exploded my brain, and I stopped trying to figure out what he was talking about. So, if you're hoping that I'm going to explain, you know, any sort of slang or trends or anything like that, I am not, because I am not the person to do that. What I hope I can do tonight is give voice to our youngest generation of Christians. A couple of weeks ago, after we came back from our retreat, I asked them in class to give me some feedback on some questions. Questions that I wanted to address in this lesson. So I passed out some cards, I asked them some questions that I'm going to show you the answers for here in just a second, but a couple of things as we get into these. One, I hope that you'll appreciate not only the honesty in their answers, but the mature perspective that they bring when they are answering these questions. And two, I hope that you know that as they're answering these, they're also providing general responses. Some answered some of the questions about the church at large, right? The Church of Christ. Others gave answers specific to our congregation here. As they were answering these, though, nothing was, you know, targeted at specific groups, people, and, you know, individuals, things like that. Nothing like that. What I've tried to do is take their answers and boil them down into common responses so we can get an idea of how our youngest brothers and sisters feel about their faith, the challenges of their faith, and can give you all understanding. If some of the stuff makes us uncomfortable, I think that's good. I think it provides an opportunity for self-reflection, for self-evaluation, for a deeper conversation to be had. I know I was challenged by some of their individual responses, and I couldn't include everything because we'd be here all night just going through page after page of documents. First question, what unique challenges do teens today face that you wish others understood? There were common, repeated answers that you might have expected: drugs, alcohol, vaping, social media, electronics in general, pornography, things of that nature. They said the constant pressure about the future, decisions about school, jobs, pleasing my parents, in a way that often steals the joy from our youth and is causing mental burnout. When we connect with one another, talking about the teens, we don't talk about growing up. We have trouble looking past the things that we're dealing with right now. Just because we're quiet, and they talk about the challenge of communication, just because we're quiet doesn't mean we don't want to communicate. And when we do speak up for ourselves, we're not trying to be disrespectful at all. We just want someone to hear us.
We're teenagers growing up in a very political, divisive world. We don't even know what we can trust or believe anymore. We're having to form opinions, stances on things that no other generation had to consider, and then we get called uneducated or stupid when we try to talk about the issues that we encounter daily. Depression, suicide, unhealthy coping, body shaming, environmental concerns, pandemics, sadness, sexual harassment, division over everything. It's constantly taxing on our minds. Those were again repeated over and over and over again. Temptation is everywhere. No other generation has had to deal with the overexposure of ourselves and the overexposure to sinful content at our age ever. And they're right.
They're right. Not to say that other generations haven't had a hard time growing up. Absolutely. I can think of challenges that I faced growing up.
You can think of challenges that you faced growing up. We'll get into more of this in a minute, but
as adults, oftentimes we want to reference, well, you know, when I was a teen, when I was an adolescent, when I was in your situation. And is there wisdom in sharing those experiences? Absolutely, yes. Is there wisdom in hearing those experiences from other people? Absolutely, yes.
But are they also facing a unique situation, a unique challenge that none of the rest of us had to deal with? Yes. Imagine if those of us, let's say, who are older than 20, if at any given time, back when you were a teen, back when you were young, any given moment, quote, mistake, not only happened, but then could be recorded, then could be shared, then could be distributed, then could be seen not only by your school but the world. The pressure that adds to everything you say or do or think or act out on. It's a unique situation they find themselves in. What are the biggest issues the church is facing? What issues does the youngest generation of our Christians see the church facing? We're judgmental. When people are struggling or need help, too often it feels like we push them away instead of providing them with the resources to address that need. We could be more welcoming. Lukewarmness. Every week I see people come to church and then leave and go back to their same routine. People who pretend to be all about God but don't live it are dangerous. Laziness. We have a fear of outreach and an indifference to evangelism, or we want our beliefs followed without meeting people with love, compassion, and the room to grow and learn. The church should be a welcoming place for people to meet God. It feels like more action is taken regarding political matters than the gospel. It feels like our generation gets ignored. Most of the lessons feel like they're addressing parents, married couples, older members, etc. We don't know a lot of the older songs, but when our newer songs are brought up, they get dismissed as camp songs. The younger generation gets called the future of the church, but that feels dumped on all of us at once without any instruction or experience on how to serve the church outside of the youth group. Again, is that entirely correct? Are there lessons that address the youth? Absolutely. But this is their perspective. This is their reality. This is the sense in their engaging the church, seeing laziness, lukewarmness, not only within the congregation, within the youth group even. Things that need to be addressed. But what are you hopeful for regarding the church? It's not all negative. What are you hopeful for when it comes to the church? I'm hopeful that we'll be able to stand firm and address the issues that are going on today. We're challenged in our thoughts and our opinions about things, but that also means that we're trying to form strong foundations to stand on. Multiple people said, you know what, we get asked about a lot of divisive topics and we're having to think through things that maybe you didn't have to think through, but we're also studying those things and we're preparing defenses for those things and we're talking about those things and we know where we stand on those. We're not blindsided by things like many older Christians may be. More connections. I'm hopeful for opportunities to get back after COVID and connect with others in the congregation, do things with older members or younger ones. And I think that's maybe an assumption that we have, that the youth group looks forward to getting back to doing things with the youth group. What they were saying is, I'm ready to get back with my church. I'm ready to get back with my family. Not the family on the first eight pews over here, the broader family. More charity, more involvement in the things going on in the world, but even within our own community. That we can make an effort to be more open and loving to others, and that the church will grow because of it. Having more serious conversations, evangelism, approaching subjects in Scripture with maturity, and a good discussion about what the Bible actually says. And then this next one may be my favorite on the hopeful. Having a place to go and be when I need support in my life, where I feel welcomed, and where I'm addressed as part of the congregation, for us all to be closer, to break down barriers between generations, and not worry about younger and older Christians, but get to the point where we see one another as equal brothers and sisters, and it doesn't matter who you sit next to. This group of people is amazing.
It was said today at the senior luncheon, Bill and I are blessed because we get to work with them.
They're incredible. Now, they are teenagers, right? With all the fun of
just issues that brings to the table. We can stand there and tell them, hey, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, Friends Day. 6 o'clock, Wednesday night is a Friends Day.
A Friends Day is coming this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And by the time class is over, I will get a text that says, what time? What's Wednesday? Right? That's part of it. They work hard. They play hard. They invite others. They worship sincerely. They have deep thoughts. They have a lot of questions. They are teens, but more than just teens, they are Christians. They are brothers and they are sisters. They are younger, but I don't remember any part in Scripture where it talks about the body of Christ or it talks about being built together where it talks, you know, it divides them up by younger and older. They are equal Christians in the work with each of us. Now, application-wise, how should the church engage its young Christians? 4 points I want to make related to this, and not just for our young Christians. I think...
Divvy a little bit. When I say young Christians, I think the points not only apply to this group.
Some of the people in this group have been Christians longer than other members of our congregation, right?
These lessons, I think, apply to anyone who has recently become a Christian.
How should the church approach those who are young in their faith? One, specifically with this group, by recognizing that the soil and the environment they're growing in is entirely different from anything the rest of us have encountered. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we have the parable of the soils. I'm going to skip around a few verses in here, but read from Matthew 13. Beginning in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And so his disciples will press Jesus on this matter, and they'll say, explain it to us. What's the parable of the soils all about? And so looking over at verse 18, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And so he talks about these soils, and he talks about really the heart of man that receives the word. Some are immediately swept away. Others are on the good soil. They will take in the word of God, and they will grow because of it. They will produce fruit.
But especially these two soils he describes, one with weeds and thorns that represent the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and another is the rocky ground where persecution quickly takes away the word. One of the comments that was made when I got their cards back, one of our youth group members said, "Sin is still sin. The same sin that you were tempted by, we're likely tempted by. The difference is that I now have access to anything, anywhere, anytime. I can get on my phone and find anything, anytime. And it's always there." And so a response to that might be, well then, you know, don't be on your phone. Don't be on social media, right? But if any of us want to try and deny that the world has changed, and if you're not left wondering, well, I may not be on social media, but what is about me on social media? I may not be engaging in it, but what is being said about me? What has been posted about me? And thinking those thoughts when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, that's a lot. That's a lot for someone to carry. The weeds, the thorns, the rocky ground, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the persecution that comes with forming your own opinion on your faith, but trying to stand firm on your faith when people in the world don't even know what is true anymore. It's a tough time to be a teenager. Not all of our youth group teens grow the same. It's easy to say, like, youth group, draw a circle around them and say, you know, they're all kind of at the same level, and they're not. Each one's facing their own unique challenges. Some are stronger in their faith than the others. But they're all fighting a battle for their faith the same way that as adults we are. Number two, recognizing that trees, both young and old, can blossom. I have a picture of a flower. I thought about it after I put this together. I took plant taxonomy with Dr. Fader. I don't know if he's here or not. If he is, he will kill me after this is over. I don't think there's a single oak in this entire presentation. So I called it acorns to oaks. It's trees. It's all trees. Here is a picture of a flower. I don't know what kind of flower this is. I don't know if it's from a young tree or an old tree. Doesn't matter. It's a pretty flower. It's a really pretty flower. When I think of what trees produce, I think of when we lived on 2nd Street, walking down to the Sewell's house, picking some figs off the fig tree in the backyard, getting just like a bucket of figs. First time I'd ever had figs like that, fresh figs. And so they're delicious. I have no idea what kind of fig tree that is. I don't know how long that's been there. I don't know anything about that tree. I know those figs were good, really good. The world should see the beautiful work that the church is doing, regardless of what generation is doing that work. The world should see the beautiful work that the church is doing and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit from Christians, regardless of where those fruits come from. With each generation, we create opportunities where we make excuses, right? The youth can and need to do this. They probably don't need to do this. Or the older groups, they need to do this. They really don't need to do this. When you think of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc., they're for us all. They're for the benefit of those around us. You all should enjoy the fruits of the Spirit of older Christians, of those who've gone before you, as an encouragement, as an example for you to follow. Everyone else should enjoy the fruits of the Spirit of your younger Christians as an encouragement to do more yourself. The community around us should enjoy the fruit and the blossoms that the church produces. We should be bettering the lives of those around us. It doesn't matter who is cultivating that fruit, who is growing. It matters that the fruit is produced in the Spirit. By supporting them until they're rooted. I learned something about trees this year. We have a couple of cherry trees in the front yard. When you bring those trees in, or any young tree, I guess. And you bring the tree in, dig a hole, put the tree in the ground,
and then you typically stake it.
And you stake that tree with supports for a while.
so that it has a chance to grow, so that it's not blown over, so that when storms come, that tree is held upright. So I got on Google, because again, I know not a ton about trees. Got on Google this year and thought, when do I need to pull up those stakes? And it said, after a certain period of time, when that tree is rooted, it's time to cut down the supports. Even if it's still young, so that it learns to kind of blow in the wind, it learns that its trunk needs to get stronger, and it will grow from there. It would be foolish to take young Christians and throw them into a storm. It would be foolish to take a young Christian and just put them to work with no level of support. So how do we engage our young Christians? We surround them and we support them until they've reached the point that they are rooted and they can support others. We surround them, we help them exercise their talents, we help them find their place until they are old enough to support whoever comes next. And finally, by expecting them to grow. David read for us 1 Timothy 4:12, the verse about not being despised for your youth. Don't hold it against them that they're young. One of the comments that came up frequently in the cards was, we want to have the deep conversations, and we can. And some of the Bible studies that we've had, some of the class discussions that we've had, some of the things they've done on mission trips, some of the times that they've spoken themselves, they're deep into God's Word. They're ready to have those conversations. I've had more engaging and wrestling conversations probably with folks who are 13 to 17 than I've had with folks who are older than myself. They are wrestling with their faith. They're wrestling with scriptures in a way that many adults are not. Now, speaking of growth, part of that is following all of God's Word, which includes respecting your elders, respecting those who have come before you, learning from their wisdom and their example. But the most dangerous issues I've had with trees wasn't with a sapling that wouldn't grow. It was with a fully grown tree that stopped growing. Because at that point, it becomes hollow, it begins to die, becomes destructive. Neither is great, but none of us is perfect, and all of us have opportunities to grow. Why not grow together and have the same expectations of growth one to another? The survival of the church depends on the growth of its youth. When we talk about generations, we're starting at the bottom, I guess. We could go one generation back, but they're not listening right now. They're enjoying fruit snacks. When we talk about the church and engaging the church, we have this first generation. And if we don't take care of and cultivate the generations that are coming up behind us, what's left? What's left? Generation will come and go, generation will come and go, and if we're not taking care of our youth, then there will be an empty generation. The future of the church is dependent on the growth of its youth. Now, all that to say, we're blessed in this congregation. We have individuals who care deeply about our youth group in all generations. Not just parents and grandparents or relatives, not just our elders or our deacons. We have individuals who care about this group for the sake of just young Christians, right? They want to find ways to support. They offer their support. This was not meant to say nothing is happening. But can more be done? Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Could more be done for this group to engage? Absolutely. That's the point of these lessons. It's the beginning of rethinking about how we engage with one another. Now tonight, at this point, the generations don't matter. The gospel is just for Christians. Peace of God is for Christians. The hope of heaven is for Christians. The blood of Christ is for Christians. Doesn't matter, young, old, doesn't matter, male, female, doesn't, nothing. No divisiveness. if you are not a part of that family, if you are not a part of that body of Christ, the gospel is for you. The gospel is for you. To have those sins washed away, to have that expectation to be with God one day, to be added to God's body, to be surrounded by one another as we continue to help you grow and you help us grow. Or maybe you have been a Christian. You've been growing. Things have been tough. You've fallen away. You've fallen into some old habits, some routines. Sins come back into your life and you need prayers for the forgiveness of those sins. Whatever your need is tonight, prayers to be baptized into the body of Christ, whatever your need is, there is someone here who can meet that tonight. Ethan's going to come and lead us in a song, and this is the perfect opportunity to come and let us know what that need is. If you have a need, please.